worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guests in just a moment, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning specifically at verse 25. Again, Luke chapter 2 in the New Testament, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Verses 25 through 35, Luke chapter 2. Father, we thank you once again for the many wonders, the many blessings that are found in the wonderful and powerful story of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the greatest gift the world has ever received. Thank you again, Father, for the salvation that Jesus Christ brought to us. And thank you for the privilege of being involved in the wonderful work of telling the world the wonderful gift Jesus is and was and always will be to the whole world. Help us this Advent season to be bright, shining witnesses wherever we go, shining and pointing people like the wise men to Jesus Christ every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate everyone listening and joining us that's joining us today. And want to remind you once again, I want to encourage you to go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com. And we invite you to subscribe there. And also, again, check out some of the blogs that are there, the articles that you may find, the questions you may find, lots of interesting things you'd find on the website. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. Also want to let you know that we do have some free mobile apps available for your iPhone and Android devices. All you have to do is go to the App Store and search for Urban Family Talk. And remember, with the app, you can take Urban Family wherever you go. And, you know, we have certain stations whereby in just a number of places where you can listen. But with the app, you can go anywhere in the world, whether it's in Mississippi or California or Texas or China, wherever you might go, you can take the app with you. So we want to encourage you to take the time and opportunity to do just that. Please continue to pray much for the ministry of Urban Family as well. We're a division of the American Family Association. Please pray for us. We very much need your prayers. I'd like to introduce our phone guest today. Our phone guest is Pastor Willie Richardson. He's served as a pastor for over 27 years in the Church of God in Christ and also served as a superintendent in the Church of God in Christ for over 13 years as well, and lived for quite a few years in Chicago and presently is a resident in the state of Texas. Pastor Richardson, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Pastor Parker. It's great to be with you on the show today.
Thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, Pastor Richardson, it's a privilege to get to meet you by way of phone, at least. Haven't had the privilege of meeting you in person, but would like to, as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll take the time just to really further introduce yourself to our listeners and then get right into sharing your powerful testimony and story.
Yes, sir. Well, again, it's a privilege to be on the show with you and to be able to share with the listeners. And I'll just you gave a great introduction. I'm also an author. I didn't mention that to you when we talked. My first book is called Transformed by the Word. It's a devotional on Psalms 119. And so that book is now available, and I don't have a website or anything up as yet, but we'll soon be able to do that.
Well, if you'll just give us your contact information, we'll make it available through I'll give our listeners my email is jparker@afa.net, and you send us the information and we'll pass it on, okay?
Yes, sir. That's great, and I appreciate that as well. All right. Well, I would like to just say that, yes, I've been a pastor. I pastored for over 27 years in the Church of God in Christ, and I served as a superintendent as well in the jurisdiction of Northern Illinois under the Honorable Bishop Cody Vernon Marshall. This story comes out of an experience that the Lord gave me and began to deal with me as I looked at some crises that my wife was going through, and I was going through it with her, so I was affected by it. And I want to say from the outset that what I'm sharing to some may not quite understand it. That's okay, but it's really to those who can receive it at this point, because the teacher appears when the student is ready. Often we've heard that before. So I would say this, Pastor Parker, is that what the Lord said to me, I would like to say to our audience today, that what I share with you now, we'll have one of three things we'll do with it. We'll abort it, we'll miscarry it, or we'll deliver it. And so I'm thanking God for the opportunity on your show to deliver what the Lord put in my spirit and has put in my charge to share. And okay. I do it one-on-one and at every opportunity that I've been given to share this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What happened was, my wife and I, let me say this, my wife and I have been married for 46 years. This past November the 15th was our 46th year of marriage. So I'm not just somebody that's, you know, just talking. Mm-hmm. I have some experience in the relationship of marriage. I have experience as a pastor, and I have experience as a pastor of pastors. So what I'm sharing is somewhat difficult to hear at points, but needed to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so my testimony starts back in 2013, that when I found out that my wife would do better in a warmer climate. She has psoriasis and she has psoriatic arthritis. And we lived in Chicago, that arthritis would really get bad. It had gotten to a point that she made a statement to me and said, "I don't know how much more of this I can take." And, of course, being a husband and her friend and loving her deeply, I took it to the Lord, you know. And I said, "Lord, you haven't healed her yet. I pray for other people. They've been healed, but she's not healed. And she's doing better, we found out, in a warmer climate. Maybe I need to think about relocating." And then I said, "But what's going to happen with the church?" Well, I heard the Lord speak back to me at that moment and said, "You take care of your bride, and I'll take care of mine." And then he told me to go to my upper room, to my prayer room. And so I told my wife what I had gotten from the Lord and what I was about to do. That's in September of 2013. I went upstairs that evening and began to seek the Lord. Now, mind you, we had been in the church that we were in, that I left the church in, for at least 5 years. Mm-hmm. And we had moved from the location. We had made three moves since I pastored.
Mm-hmm.
But as I went up to seek the Lord, concerning, I thought, the move that we were about to make and didn't know which direction we were going. We had found out Florida, she seemed to be relieved of the itching and the scratching that she was under. My wife seemed to be like a Job with the part she is scratching herself to get relief, you know, scraping her skin to get relief. And sometimes till she would bleed and leave the bed with blood in it and skin in it and that kind of thing. And so it was a really heart-wrenching situation. And so as I went upstairs and began to pray, after I got up through praying, I was sitting on the side of the bed, and those were the words that I opened up with, that the Lord spoke to my spirit as I sat there in quietness. He says, what I am about to share with you now, you'll have one of three things you can do with it. You'll abort it, you'll miscarry it, or you'll deliver it. And when he said that, it was almost like instantly I had an understanding of where this was going, but not totally how this was going to work and what was going to be revealed. And so that night, I went through the night with that in my mind, but nothing was revealed to me other than that I had had children, my wife and I together. We have four children that are living, but we lost four, two to abortion and two to miscarriage. Now, my children that are living are two ministers, sons that are ministers, and a daughter that's a missionary, and then my youngest daughter. All of those children are grown, and they're in church. My youngest daughter is 30 years of age, and so my oldest son is 45. And so I've been blessed to raise them in the church, and they've remained in the church and have a relationship with the Lord. And so when the Lord said that to me, that night, the next day, all I had within me is that I was to name my children. This is what he said to me. As I sat there, he said, name your children. And I had no knowledge, had not visited this in years. Years, I had not visited anything concerning abortion or miscarriage. But that next day, as I prepared to leave the house and my wife was with me, I wanted to tell her, but I didn't know how to bring it to her. And so we were riding along in the car. And as we were riding along in the car, I wanted to say to her what I had experienced. She never brought up what happened while I was upstairs last night. Most of the time, she won't. If I get to myself, she won't bother me. So as we were riding along, I said, now, how can I bring this up to her, to myself? And the Lord, again, or the impression from within, voice within, said, just ask her. And so I rode a while and then got the courage to ask her. And I said, Donnie, I said, I was in prayer last night.
Pastor Richardson, we're coming up on a break, and so I'm going to jump right in here. This is not pretty inopportune time, but we'd have to break right here. We'll come. Want you to pick up right there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Pastor Willie Richardson. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
I get it. Being a young single woman in your mid to late 20s can have its struggles. Every time you get on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, someone from your high school or college years has a boyfriend, engaged, married, or married with kids. You find yourself always being the bridesmaid and never the bride. Be of good cheer. Don't covet the idea of marriage to the point you're willing to settle for anyone. Remember, everyone has a calling, and your calling is your ministry, and who you marry can make or break it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, Paul tells us that if you are unmarried, care for the things concerning the Lord and how you may please Him. God's timing is perfect timing, and if it's in His will for you to marry, it will happen in His time. Till then, there's plenty of kingdom work that needs to get done. With the heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Brown of Key Life. He was a Bible college student. His wife was sick. He had no money. He prayed, and God gave him peace. After his prayer, he went to the mailbox, and there was a large check which met his needs. He said later, "I'm so glad I got the peace before I got the provision." Believers are future-oriented, and God often provides the joy before the journey, the peace before the provision. Isaiah wrote the following words in the midst of a horrible and frightening time for God's people. "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy." The promise of joy gave joy to God's people then, and it still does. You think about that.
The music of Forever Jones, the song Gloria, beautiful Christmas music. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Let me remind you that, once again, if you haven't taken the time to read through the Christmas narratives, that is the Christmas stories this Christmas season, you're missing out on a whole lot. Remember this, the Holy Spirit will do a lot to encourage you, to bless you, to stir your joy, and empower you as a witness for Jesus Christ if you will fill your heart and your mind with the scriptural story of the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming on that first Christmas. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Be sure you take time to do that, but also encourage your family to do it. Encourage your coworkers to do it. Encourage everybody you know to do it, and it will bless them tremendously. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. It'll take you a little time, but it's well worth it, and it will bless your socks off. Please take time to do that. Our guest today is Pastor Willie Richardson. And Pastor Richardson, we jumped in at a not-so-convenient point, but please pick up. You were riding in the vehicle with your wife, and you were about to ask her a very important question.
Yes. Yes, and thank you, Pastor. And as I was about to say, that we were riding along in the car together, and as the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, he said, just ask her. And so I knew that this was a very sensitive area, but hadn't been visited in years again because of myself. Before I had given up my life to the Lord, before I was born again, I had told my wife, you know, because of the experience we had had, to just leave it alone. Don't bring it up anymore. And so now here I am about to bring it up. And so I did. And when I brought it up, of course, her demeanor was very, very harsh, you know, and she reminded me of what I had said, and she had honored it. She wouldn't talk to me about it. And again, I was making her. I'm at fault to the point that she couldn't share it. She kept it within. So a lot of her sickness, I believe, today is because she shut all of this pain up within her. But at that moment, when I said to her, I said, Dunny, the Lord revealed something to me last night. He told me to name our children. I said, we know what our name what the names of our children that are born, that are with us, but he's talking about the children that we lost. And so when I said that, she said, you told me to don't ever bring it up anymore. Why are you talking about it then? And I said, because the Lord told me to name them, and I don't even know what they were. And she said to me, I don't know what they were either, but I know that in your family, if it starts being the men seem to have boy first, then it'll be a boy, two boys, or if it's girls, it'll come two girls or three girls or however. But before she could get the whole sentence out, then the Lord spoke to me while she was talking and said, Jonathan. In other words, the first child was a boy. His name was Jonathan. And then he gave me the second name. As she said, I told her, I said, the Lord just spoke the name to me. The child's name is Jonathan. And then she said, why are you doing this? Where is this coming from? I said, I'm not doing it. The Lord just gave this to me. And the moment I said it, then the second name of this child came, which was another boy. And his name is Robert. And I told her, but at that moment, I couldn't drive anymore. I pulled over to the curb. We both crying, tears coming down our face. And I began to tell her how sorry I was. Now the remorse hit me. And she was saying, well, I've gotten over it. But radio listeners, it's something that if we haven't dealt with it, if we haven't visited it as we should, it's still covered up. And it needs to be healed. It needs to be dealt with so that there can be healing that takes place. That's so right. Out of that experience that day, it stirred me to go before the Lord the next night and nights after to hear where was this going and why was this and why now? And again, it came out of that I challenged the Lord and said, if my wife does better in a warmer climate, maybe we're going to relocate. But if we relocate, what's going to happen with the church? And so it was all centered around our relationship with him and in the church and what have you. And a lot comes out of this for me spiritually, awakening, a spiritual awakening. And so we named those two children and in the car. And when I got home that evening, I went up before the Lord to question, how could this be? Because I hadn't thought about any thing that pertained to the loss of the children, whether it was by abortion or miscarriage. And to just give you a kind of a background on the two sons that we have that's with the Lord now. It's, again, hard to express at times, but again, it's what the Lord has given us to share, because it's to help others, I believe, that can not make the mistake we made, and then to heal from it if they've gone through it. Jonathan was our oldest child. My wife and I got married when we were very young. We were she was 16 and I was 17. Our parents had to sign for us. Well, when we married, her father still felt like she was too young to have a baby, I guess. And he came to my parents' home and asked her to take a ride with him. Well, the ride that he had her to take with him was to the abortion clinic. She ended up aborting our first child, which was Jonathan. And so he threatened her and told her that if she bet not ever tell it or what he would do, which she took was that he would kill my family, kill her. And she was very afraid of her father, very afraid of him. And so she didn't say anything. Well, we knew that she was pregnant, but she ended up not giving birth to our child in 9 months. Instead, she gave birth to a child in what would have looked like the 13th month, which there is no 13th month. So that tells us that she got pregnant right after the Jonathan was aborted. And so my son, Willie Jr., was born. And so he was our firstborn child. And then after that, 2 years later, we had another son, which we named Quintus. That's our second son. Mm-hmm. And after that, we got pregnant again. And when we got pregnant this time, I told my wife, not knowing what had happened with the first child, what her father had did, I tell her that we have two sons. I got my namesake, and we got enough responsibility now. Let's abort this child. And that was very painful for her, but she did it. And so I murdered my own, and it's just the word murder, because a lot of times we don't look at it that, but that's what we did. I did. And if I can own up to it, I want others to recognize that God wants us to confess our sins, confess our faults, that we can be healed. And so my wife aborted Robert, the name of the child that God gave me while we was riding in the car. She aborted him. And I was working, so I didn't even go to the abortion clinic with her. She was alone. So I even for men that don't even understand what they're doing and the horrendous pain that they're causing women, I repent for them, and I ask women to forgive us for our ignorance. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it's a lack of knowledge that I had at that time that I did that. And out of this story that I'm sharing with you, God has given it to us to be able to say to men of God that have done these things, are part of this themselves, that they need to visit it and not hide themselves from their own flesh. Isaiah 58 says that we should not hide ourselves from our own flesh. And so it's that speaks to the abortion, and as far as I'm concerned, the abortion and the miscarriages that takes place.
Pastor Richard, so, would you take a moment to specifically pray for listeners who maybe have been down a similar road? Because it is obviously, it's a place that can lead to great hurt, great pain in the hearts and the lives of women and men. Would you take a moment now to really just lift them up, whatever God has put on your heart, to pray for our listeners as it relates to that at this time?
Yes, thank you, Pastor. Well, Father, we honor you and we bless you. We thank you for your omnipotence and your omnipresence, your ability to know our going in and our coming out. We thank you that you love us.
You.
Your love is everlasting. It's new every morning. You do nothing to harm us but to help us.
Yes,
you say you know the thoughts you think toward us, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. And sometimes through our pain and through our folly,
thank you, Lord,
your revealing of your truth brings a healing, not just sometimes but all the time. So, Father, we pray for the men and the women that are hearing this broadcast and that will hear these words today. We pray for their healing, even in this season of your coming into the earth, that you were born, that we might have life, and that we would have it more abundantly. You've never failed us, but we acknowledge that we, yes, have failed you. But you promised that you never leave us. You never forsake us. I pray for the brethren. I pray for the sisters. I pray for those that will come in repentance toward you, that you will strengthen them and that you will help them and you will hold them up. I bind the spirit of depression.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I bind the spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. I arrest the spirit of Moloch.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
That would cause the children to go through the fire of abortion.
Thank you,
Lord. In the name of Jesus, call our eyes to be open. You said in your word, Lord, if this gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost.
Yes, Lord.
Whom
Jesus,
the God of this world has blinded their minds.
Thank you, Lord.
I release the anointing upon the minds that have been blinded, that they will see,
thank you,
and they will stand up and not back down.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible tells us, your word says to us,
thank you, Lord,
the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. I pray for a lion's heart today on every listener to tell their testimony. Give it glory to you that the children are with you, and it's your desire to even bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Richardson. Pastor Richardson, we're coming up on a break again, so I want to ask if you'll take time to be sure and just pick up on the other side of the break. But if someone is wanting to learn more about the ministry that you're part of or specifically, well, you said you're going to give us the, you're going to pass on the information. So if persons are wanting to get the, a copy of the book that you wrote, they'll be able to do that then. So let me remind our listeners, my email is jparker@afa.net. And just email me if you're wanting to get information about how to get the book from Pastor Richardson. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Pastor Willie Richardson. We'll pick up on the other side of the break.
Ever dealt with temptation, whether it's food, lust, or even sex? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Here at Urban Family Talk, we stand for truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Believers have the power to withstand the temptation of the enemy. Get empowerment to stand at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says if there's a need in your life that hasn't been met, it may be time to look in a different direction for help. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
A little boy one day was in the grocery cart. His mother was going up and down the aisle, and she went up one aisle and it had chocolate chip cookies. He said, "Mama, please, for some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "No, son, you've had enough sweets." She went down another aisle. He said, "Please, I really want some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "Stop worrying me. I'm not going to give you any chocolate chip cookies. You have enough sweets." He said, "But Mama, you don't understand. I need some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "Boy, what you need is a spanking, because I told you stop worrying me about them chocolate chip cookies." She got in the checkout line. While in the checkout line, the little boy stood up in the cart, looked up to heaven, clasped his hands, and said, "Jesus, I learned in Sunday school last week that if I called on you, you would meet all of my needs. And I need some chocolate chip cookies. But my mama won't give me any chocolate chip cookies." The people in back of the mother said, "Why won't that woman get that boy some chocolate chip cookies?" The woman got so embarrassed, she ran and got a whole bunch of chocolate chip cookies and put it in the cart. He said, "Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. If you're in the checkout line and you're ready to give up, before you give up, look up and fix your eyes on Jesus, because he knows how to change your situation and turn your situation around. He knows how to meet you in your problem and turn your problem around. He knows how to take you in your pain and give you peace."
If you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins and be the Lord of your life, you can find out more about what that means by visiting us at tonyevans.org and clicking on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
They made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child. And we didn't know who were. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes were blind, we could not see. And we didn't know who you were. The world treats you mean, Lord. Well, they treat me mean too. Down here, we just don't know who you is.
The music of Babbie Mason, the song Sweet Little Jesus Boy. Thanks for listening to to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Pastor Willie Richardson. And once again, I want to give you my email address if you're wanting more information about as to how to get his book. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. And when we get the information, we'll pass it on to you. Pastor Richardson, you can pick up where you left off for this last segment of our time today.
Thank you, sir. Yes, and so as we were sharing, when we went back to our upper room to seek the Lord, now that we knew these two names of our children, I wanted answers as to how this could be. And after meditating, the Lord began to deal with me. And again, he spoke these words again in my spirit and said, when a child, or when life is created, and I say created because that's what he gave me, he said, when we call it conception, he said, but he calls it his creation. Every time the seed of a man enters the egg of a woman, he says, I hear a sound, or someone, whether we could say, I hear the sound. Once the egg seed enters the egg, the sound is, I am. Mm-hmm. I am. Every human life that is created, God said, we call it conception, but he calls it his creation. Mm-hmm. And when it's created, he hears, I am, which means the life now is forever, everlasting, and it's eternal. Mm-hmm. Forever, everlasting, eternal, I am. Praise Every God. Human being mm-hmm. is forever, everlasting, and it's eternal. And so the Lord began to give me scripture. Mm-hmm. And the first of the scriptures that he began to deal with me on was out of Psalms. And I just like to read that verse of scripture out of Psalms 127.
Okay.
And verse 3, it said, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And what the Lord revealed to me in that scripture, the understanding of that is that we are his heritage. Those of us that have been born into the earth realm, we become his heritage. The children are his heritage in the earth. He looks to us. He gives us dominion in the earth realm. And so we are his heritage. But when a child does not make it through to the earth realm, but is aborted or miscarried, that life is forever, everlasting, and eternal. Mm-hmm. It goes into the presence of God. Mm-hmm. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So it's an eternal spirit. And so the Lord revealed that to me. And Pastor, if you want to jump in, you can at any time. If you want to ask me something or say anything.
Well, I'm listening and learning all at the same time there. So, again, I would like to ask this, Pastor Richardson.
Sure.
In your story now, your wife had not told you about the first abortion as of yet at that point. Is that correct?
Right. Well, this was, she told me after her father died.
After he died?
I didn't know it. After he passed away, mm-hmm. which was back in 1984. Mm-hmm. So that's how long she held it, until 84. And once he passed away, then she did reveal that. But,
Okay. And that was, and I think you said it was because she was very much afraid.
Very much afraid of what he would do, you know, if she told it. So, and then by that time, I guess I had even, you know, had her to have an abortion of our second child, Robert. Mm-hmm. Second child, Robert. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, then. Okay. Well, so Would you say, Pastor Richardson, and of course there's a very powerful story and there's so much, many details about it. You know, your story speaks to so many different issues where people and individuals and believers, many of which would be very much in the church, struggle with. And it's actually such that, like, it's one statistic I heard was that up to 70% of the people that have abortions say they're Christians. And sadly, there's so many people out there that they come because they often hear, well, it's legal, and may hear from different corners that, well, it's all right under this circumstance or that circumstance. Tragically, again, so many abortions happen in the circles of people that would refer to themselves as being believers. What would you say to those persons, those individuals that would basically make statements like that?
Well, certainly, I would take them back to the scriptures, because that's really where we should always rely on the word of God. Is there? The word of God is forever. Is also in my book, Transformed by the Word. The word does three things. The word don't change, but it'll change anything or anybody. So you have a spoken word, the written word, and the living word of God. The spoken word was what created the worlds into existence, okay? All that we know is in existence because of the spoken word of God. God said, let there be. And then we have the written word that we read, and we're encouraged to read and study and meditate upon to get in our spirit. And then the living word that came flesh, Jesus Christ became flesh, dwelt among us. That's what's got to be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God's word reign in our hearts. So I would say that that check out what the word of God has to say about it. Believe what God's word would speak to your spirit concerning it. They may pass laws. Men may dismiss it. But again, what does the word have to say about it? And the word has revealed. I mentioned a deity in the Old Testament called Moloch. That was one of the gods of fertility, or the god where you had the god of Ashtaroth, you had the god of Baal, and then you had the god Moloch. Well, Ashtaroth and Baal were male and female considered gods, and a lot of times in those temples of Moloch and Baal and Moloch, Ashtaroth, and Baal, they would have what they call orgies in the temple. When the people would get pregnant, they would sacrifice the children. They would sacrifice through Ashtaroth and Baal, Ashtaroth being the female, Baal being the male. They would take those children and kill them, sacrifice them on the altar to the god Moloch. And so that's what we're dealing with. It's a spirit. It's a spirit, whether acknowledge or not. And so that's why when we have sex, people have sex outside of marriage and then have sex and get pregnant and feel that they're stuck in a relationship or stuck with a child, it's the spirit of the enemy that wants them to get rid of that child. But it's God's desire. When life comes into the world, he has a plan for every life that comes into the world. I believe that with all of my heart.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pastor Richardson, our time is almost gone. Would you take time to pray for the church to really rise up and to courageously proclaim the word of God on this issue? Because there's so many people that, sadly, many of which are in church, but they're not hearing the clear message that God tells us to choose life. It's not ambiguous. It's not up to a person's opinion. The word of God tells us, choose life, and it says, thou shalt not kill. Would you pray for the church in that regard?
Yes, sir. Father, I thank you again because you said, whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive them and we could have them. I thank you again for the revelation that you've given us only a few days ago concerning trusting you. You showed us that trusting you is elementary, but it's your desire to be able to trust us, and that's me personally. I take it personally that you desire to trust me, and I want you to be able to trust me. Trust me with what you have shared,
yes,
that I would share it to your people in love,
thank you,
that they might
Jesus.
Know that they have life in you.
You.
So I pray for those who are listening today. I pray for their understanding to be enlightened. I pray for their fear of rejection, fear of being cast aside and looked down on, that you would raise their understanding, their expectation, that it's you that they should look to and not to man. I pray, Lord, that you would do that for them and you would do it for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Richardson. Now, I know, Pastor Richardson, we haven't finished your story, and our time is about completely gone, so I'm looking forward to having you to come back and tell us more, because I know another side of your story has to do with the importance of us naming children that did not have the opportunity to be born. In just 30 seconds, anything you want to say about that? And again, we'll look forward to having you back. Anything you want to say in the last few moments?
Yes, well, just what you just said, it's much more to this, what the Lord revealed to me, and I'm thankful for this platform to be able to share again what was given to me. God said that if we name, he shared with me that what up in the room, he said, if you name your children, tell my people, if they name their children, I will rain healing in the earth. Now, you won't do it alone, because, and some who's listening to me now that never have done this, I believe and declare that they will begin to name. And I would encourage you to call the radio station, call Pastor Parker, tell him that you got downloaded like I did from the Lord. Know this, that the same Lord that gave Adam the names of every animal on the earth, he brought them back to see what he would call them. Can you imagine the Lord in his spirit speaking the name Elohim?
Amen. Nah. Amen.
And so each name was given. God will do that for us.
Pastor Richardson, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And again, we look forward to having you back soon to tell us more about your story. But thanks for joining us today. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Appreciate you joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.